Hey, welcome back to Viewer's Point, where I will still be giving my unasked for, unsolicited, and unwanted opinion on your favorite TV and movies. Let's go. Guess who's back? It's me. I am back. We are excited to be back and on the roll. I mean, you know, it actually doesn't feel like it's been that long for me. It doesn't actually feel like it's been that long, but it actually has. And yeah, I mean, this is an exciting one because we're covering the greatest show of all time, the greatest thing to ever come from Netflix. The greatest thing I would think to come from TV today. I mean, this generation has never produced a better drama, comedy. Everything is just so top tier. It's hard to even compare to anything else. It's too great to explain in such little words that I don't know how I'm going to do this. So mean. I hope
that it's clear that I was being sarcastic because, well, you'll find out why soon enough. But if you haven't already guessed it, we're going to be discussing on my blog. I mean, this really is one of those series where you can find someone who watched the show, and then you'll find people that have literally never heard of it in their entire lives. But, I mean, it gets hyped. Like, Netflix shows in general get hyped up so much, and it's big for, like, a second, and then you never hear about it again. Like, Netflix shows are never classics, if you haven't noticed. I mean, longevity is just so non-existent in Netflix movies, and it's all just very short-lived.
And they just, nothing lasts. Like, nothing holds up. Nothing that comes from Netflix holds up. Like, I think if everyone went back and watched Stranger Things, I already think this, but I don't think the rest of the world's caught on. It would not be that good. Like, you would realize it's just for this. Like, things are made on Netflix for that exact point in time, and that's it. You're not supposed to watch it 10 years later, or else you're gonna see how messed up and horrible it is. But
the show is not timeless and just very forgettable.
I just, by the time this is being recorded, the first part of Cobra Kai has just come out, and there is so much. I haven't even finished the first part yet. So much to, like, can't wait to get to that. Can't wait to get to that show. A lot to talk about there. But yeah, we're going off topic on my blog. Yeah. Let's discuss this masterpiece. It's a cinematic masterpiece. Not even cinematic. They should make a movie. I honestly think this show would have worked better as, like, a trilogy series or even one movie, because the amount of content that's in this that actually makes sense and that actually works is just the total of one movie. No, I'm not even joking. But yeah, so I started watching this not too long ago, like a few months ago. But I do remember when it came out. Not when it came out. I remember when it got big and everyone was talking about it. And all the memes, and not even all the memes, yeah, the memes that came from it, but also the sounds, like the Musical.ly and TikTok sound. I don't know if Musical.ly was big then, but the sounds that came from that show, I had no idea until I watched. I was like, I remember this, had no idea it came from this show. So it's actually kind of crazy. But
enough of that. Let's get into the summary and synopsis. Was known as Triple S. What do you think of the music? It's not very me, but I love it, so yeah. But
we're back with the AI generated synopsis. Should I do like an AI look it up on ChatGPT?
Compare it to an IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes. I'm gonna do that definitely.
This is Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, Rotten Tomatoes is a good one. I never use Rotten Tomatoes. That's actually a good one. I should use that in the first place. On My Block follows a quartet of bright, street savvy friends who are navigating their way through high school, including all of the triumph, pain, and newness they experience along the way. I don't know. I don't think this synopsis does the show justice in terms of how insanely crazy it is. This just sounds like four friends who are navigating their way through high school, and that is not even true because I don't even remember seeing them in high school more than 6 minutes. Like I don't think we saw them. I don't think we ever saw them in class. They were never in class. So this is, I don't know why high school is even a thing. I just love how everyone likes to center all these shows around high school, but then not actually have them go to high school because everyone knows that that's just the worst time. But they're like, that's also the time we can make characters do dumb stuff because we can say they're in high school. Yeah. So that's basically season one. I mean, really what happens is four friends, Monse, Caesar, Jamal, and Ruby. This is the summer before ninth grade high school starting. And during that, when Monse, the one girl in the group, comes back from writing camp, it's like towards the end of the summer, and she finds out that none of them, the rest of them aren't friends anymore. She's like, whoa, what happened? And then she finds out that Jamal and Ruby, why do I keep forgetting his name? They aren't talking to Caesar because he told them something. She doesn't know what it is, and they're like not friends with Caesar anymore. She later finds out Caesar told them that Caesar and Monse slept together. And they're like, he lied. Obviously, they're chalking it up to he lied because they have all been friends forever. And turns out, spoiler alert, it wasn't a lie. And they did. And but they're not telling anyone. They told each other not to tell anyone. And all while this is happening, Caesar is going through the transition of his entire family, like long generation and lineage of gang leaders come from his line, whatever. And he's trying to figure out how to navigate this because he doesn't want to do that. His friends don't want to know part of that life. He doesn't want to be a part of that life. But you're kind of forced into that situation. And again, he's only 14. So it ends with the three of three his three friends, Monse, Jamal, and Ruby, saying, we're gonna get him out of this. And I honestly thought this was gonna be oh, this is a pilot. You know, they're trying to just engage the viewers. I didn't think they were actually gonna stick with this, we're gonna try and get him out of the game. I don't think it's that easy. I did not think they were actually gonna take that seriously. That was a very big shock to me. But yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, that's like the core four. Ruby's the emotional. Is he emotional? He's like the emotional weird one. Actually, no, Jamal's pretty weird too. Jamal's like weird. He's kind of the comedic relief. Caesar. He has very little personality. When you actually chalk it up and actually break it down, he has very, very little personality. And it's very hard to find it. I feel like I'm constantly being like, I want to root for him. And I do. Yeah, they actually make it really easy to root for him.
Opinion.
They make it very easy to root for him, but he just has very little personality. But I do like it because he seems very normal. He's someone you'd find in high school. He's someone you'd find in high school. So I do actually appreciate that. And then there's also Olivia. I didn't talk about her. She comes in, I think, episode two, and she is Ruby and his family. They have family friends, and his family friends are Olivia's parents, and Olivia's parents have been deported. So Olivia is coming to stay with Ruby, and newsflash, Olivia's hot, of course. So Ruby's like, oh my God, I get to live with her. And yeah, but yeah, basically the pilot is actually very strong. The pilot, I will say, I'll give it some grace there. The pilot is actually one of the best Netflix pilots I've seen because it not only sets up the show very well, but it actually makes it seem a lot more interesting than what actually happens. And they just display the characters very well. They make it clear who everyone is, how they are, what's gonna happen. And I just think it works really well. It just seems incredibly thought out, which is something that is a rare occurrence in this show. So I appreciate it while we have it. But that's the thing. It's like the show, it sets up in a certain way where it's like, okay, this is it's weird because it's a drama. So there's a lot of serious real crap that happens. But then It also tries to throw in some comedy, but it does it in a weird way where you can't tell if they're joking or not. And it be and at first I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's a little eccentric and
Unorthodox. I mean, it's
it's out there and it's different. It's new. I can get behind trying something new. And then it just gets confusing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be worried for his life or laughing because this is all a big joke. So, but also, and also it's hard to find. Like, I don't know what you would categorize. I actually am very curious as to see how they categorize the show and on Netflix. Because I guess I'm guessing they do comedy and drama, but they do it in a way that's just it's not it. It's not because they don't know how to separate the two. They either make it's super dramatic, but then it's just the most off the wall stuff, and then you're supposed to take that seriously, but you're also not supposed to take it that seriously because it's funny, but I can't tell if it's funny because it is not funny. That's also the show thinks it's funnier than it is. It's not, and yeah, so the weird tone just it's weird, and I think especially this no, it's this entire show. Not even just the season, but the season alone. I think they're lucky that the story was pretty solid. At least part of the story was pretty solid. Because one thing that the show and so many other Netflix shows are doing, not even Netflix shows, but just shows in general, they rely so much on the characters and the dynamic between the characters that they feel that the story can just be whatever. And it is like it's I mean it's the same thing with Outer Banks. I feel like I talk to, I feel like I always use Outer Banks as a negative. I actually like that show in to a certain degree. And it's like the dynamic between all the characters are great. The chemistry, I mean, that's the only reason people watch a show is because of the chemistry and the conversation and the banter between them. But then we actually break it down, the story is not that great. And you see that when it's like in the most recent season of Outer Banks. And John B and his father, they're going on a whole treasure hunt, just them. And everyone's like, this is a war. Like, it's so boring. And it's just so, like, what? This is not interesting. And it's so unengaging. That's no way that's a word. Disengaging? I think I said, forget it. I want to look it up so bad. And it's so unengaging because it's like these two have no, there's just no. There's nothing interesting about it, and then no one cares about a stupid treasure hunt. No one actually cares. You think people are actually watching this for the treasure hunt? No, they're watching either for the couples, or they're watching for the banter, or they're watching to just see your favorite characters on screen. And that's what you see with most of these things. You rarely see a story being the lead and what gravitates the audience. You rarely see it now, especially with these ensemble casts. And I guess that is what it's supposed to do, is that. But when I think of stuff like that, the ones that do it well are things like Friends. They use the characters to move the story along, but with these, the stories are just so blah that there's no story to move along because I've stopped caring. And yeah, they just it doesn't feel well thought out. That's the biggest thing. And that's the thing is when you have a sitcom like Friends, you're able to do that because it's a sitcom. So you could chalk it up to, oh, it's just stupid. When you have a drama, you have to actually think things through. I don't feel like they think anything through. And then with the whole 10 episodes crap, you don't even have time to develop anything. You don't even have time to actually take, you don't take time with anything. And so it's just like, it might as well be movies. I don't understand these shows that are 10 episodes. You can literally create a movie out of them. It does not, you don't need a show. This is limited series with multiple seasons because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But I definitely think this show definitely suffers from that. But I will say I do like the one thing that's good about, or not the one thing, one of the few things that are good about this is the way they tackle how environment affects your actions. I mean, there's so much slander on some of these characters, especially like Caesar and Monse. And I get it because they can both make incredible. Actually, no, I don't get it. What am I get it. No, I don't get it. Because they can both make incredibly stupid mistakes. And not even mistakes, just stupid decisions. But it's like, what do you expect? Like, I really sit here and wonder. I'm like, what do you expect? These are 14-year-olds who for one is trying to fight for his life to not be in for the life that he doesn't want, and the other one has no mother and is hanging has only ever been around all guys. So I don't know what you expect her or him. I don't know what you first of all, I don't know what you expect Monse to be like, for her to be this upstanding, incredible, sweet, caring, understanding girl. That's like I never saw that coming. You just see where they live, the people they're surrounded by. It's like, do you expect anything more from them? Like I sometimes I just don't understand, especially Caesar. It's like, are we serious? Did we really expect him to just be this upstanding guy who actually treats his women with or not even women, girls with grace and just some thoughtfulness? Of course not. Of course not. So it just gets me when it's like, I don't understand this. No one has any sympathy for anyone anymore. It's like, put yourself in their shoes for one second, and you're 14. Like, I don't even know what a young 14 is to be going through all this. Sometimes I look at it, I'm like, this is crazy. And that's why this is what this show is supposed to do. This is what they, I'm pretty sure, is why this was created, was to give a pers to give people insight on how it is to live that sort of life, because there are people, many, many, many people out there who live just like them, and you're able to gain a perspective on what that's like, and what they go through, and what they see, and how that affects them, and how that affects the way they act and the way they move, just everything. So the fact that people completely miss that point is hilarious to me, because that's the only good thing about the show. It's like, what are you watching this for? I'm really confused, because it can't be the great lessons, because I don't know what else you'd possibly be watching it for. I mean, I don't think anyone actually makes any sane decisions. Anyone, no one makes any sane decisions. Jamal is a very big is a very big advocate for that. No, and again, it makes sense. Like, it just makes sense. The fact that mom, like, I don't think people understand not having a mom, like, that's big on its own. Just being raised by your father is big on its own. But then being raised in a neighborhood like that, in an environment like that, and then all your friends are guys. I'm surprised she didn't turn out worse. I'm surprised, truly. But I think that also is what adds to the appeal of how they feel like high schoolers. And I don't mean look like, because they actually did. They cast them very well. They actually do look like high schoolers. But it's a whole thing now where people are like, why doesn't high schools actually look like high schoolers? 30-year-olds are playing high schoolers. What? I don't care. Like I also know these people aren't serial killers. So it's like, this is all pretend. So I don't know why that's a thing where people are so fixated on the way people look and how they don't. Oh, they don't look like high schoolers. They look 28. It's like, do you want a 14-year-old to be smoking weed? Like I don't understand what people want. But for me, it's not. I just could not care less about that part. My biggest thing is when they don't act like high schoolers. If you are may if it's centered around high schoolers, these people are supposed to be high schoolers. I don't care if you look 25, 28, 39. Just have they just have to act like high schoolers. It's when they start doing things where it's like, no one, they're not, no one's gonna be doing that at that age. Then it's like, okay, this is it. It starts taking you out of the show. It starts taking you out of it. Just starts taking you out of that world, because it just feels unrealistic. In real life, there are high schoolers that look 25. At least try and make themselves look 25, or they do. So it's like, that is not even a factor. I don't understand why that's an issue for people, is whether they look like them. But what I do care about is if they are acting like them, and they are mirroring the decisions and the actions and the stupidity of high schoolers. That's what I care about. But like, who cares? I mean, it's just, I mean, I think sometimes it can be a stretch, especially in the biggest thing for me, actually, the only time I care about when it looks is when you see background characters. Because background characters or background actors, whatever, they don't do anything. So I don't see the need why you need to have 38-year-olds playing, because that kills me. You see, they're, especially when and they're supposed to be like in ninth grade, you see this guy with basically gray hair. It's like, what? Okay. I'll believe it. I'll believe it. But yeah, I mean, main storyline, you have Caesar, who does not want obviously to be part of the gang. His older brother, Spooky, is the head of the Santos. And what ends up happening is Caesar ends up getting have a gun pulled out on him by a boy from a rival gang, the Prophets. And the boy happens to be someone they've all grown up with, because obviously they all, go to school together. I mean, it's public school, everyone just goes to the same school at some point. They've, gone to school when they're little. Obviously life takes you in different directions. And then he ends up getting a gun pulled out on him and Monse as they're walking. And his brother's like, hold up. You gotta do something about this. He's like, what? So yeah, he tells him, you have to do something about this. You gotta kill him. You gotta kill him. He pulled a gun on you, gotta kill him. And obviously, this is a 14-year-old child who's just a little tiny baby and does not want to do this, but obviously this is the life he didn't sign up for, the life he was born into. So sad. And he goes and he tries to kill a Cho. Or he doesn't try. He pulls out a gun on him, but then he can't do it. And so that unravels into a series of stupid mistakes, which ends in tragedy, obviously. And I just, one thing about that I just can't seem to grasp is the way that Spooky just, I mean, it's your older brother. Yeah, of course he's the gang leader. Of course he has responsibilities. Of course this and this. But at the end of the day, that's your younger brother. And you, like, true in your heart and hearts, heart of hearts, you thought that he would actually kill someone. Like, kills not only just some random person, someone he used to know, someone he used to go to school with. Doesn't mean they were friends, but we knew each other. We were in, we have some sort of history. And like, you really thought he was gonna kill me. That's just so stupid to me. And then put, like, I understand, yeah, you gotta do something about it, because you have to, when you're in, you gotta do something about it. You couldn't handle it for him. I don't know. I just think it's very strange that you just push him into this and then not, at least not take care of it for him. Like, I mean, that's what I think the, not really the beauty, but an upside to having someone who's actually like blood family in this with you is that they can protect you, they can help you. And to just, I don't know, throw him into the deep end of the pool and then be like, fend for yourself. And then when he doesn't, it's like, what is wrong with you? It's like, what's wrong with you, bro? But that ends up happening. So that whole thing plays out. He doesn't end up killing the troll, obviously, and instead tells him, gives the most genius plan anyone has ever heard. He's like, go run away. And the guy's like, okay. And he's like, okay. And he thinks it's all handled. I just saved the day. I just saved the day, and I didn't have to kill anyone. He really. That's where the stupidity comes in. Where I'm like, you know what? This was the dumbest crap I've ever seen, but I completely understand. This is a 14-year-old boy. I don't expect anything less than stupidity. And so that basically is what happens. Cut to Olivia has a quinceañera, and they're like, they've been building up to this. Since what, like the middle of the season? Episode 5? Crazy how middle of the season is episode 5. And they've been building up to this, and she finally, it's finally her day. And that's when everything goes down. She, of course, the Latrell, did I say his name yet? Latrell is a guy that pulled up on Caesar, and he comes back because obviously he's not just gonna leave. Normal, a sane person again. Not same decisions, would think so. He comes back, he pulls out a gun.
Latrell is aiming for Caesar, but instead Olivia and Ruby get caught in the crossfire.
And yeah, so that's where Caesar's, it's just all him. Like, it's really hard to defend him. And not even defend him, but it's really hard to be like, it's not your fault. You know when people say that in movies, they're like, something happens and they're like, I just want you to know it's not your fault. Like, I just want you to know that you know that's not true. Like, everything is their fault. Sometimes it's better to just say nothing. I don't understand why it's a thing to say it's not your fault. It's like, it is his fault. Let it, it's fine. We've come to terms with that. It's fine. But yeah, so Olivia does end up dying, but we don't find that out till season 2. And It's actually really, it's strange because I do remember when this came out, that season, that the end of that season, the like, I mean, the image with Ruby with blood all over him, that was everywhere. And I remember seeing that. So I remember Ruby got shot. When I first started this, the show, I was like, oh, he does get shot, huh? And so I honestly didn't know if he survived or not, but I was pretty sure he did. But I had no clue Olivia got shot. I knew she died at su she was gonna die at some point in the show because it was like it was a known thing where she was like a racist and this and this. And so I knew they killed her off, but I had absolutely no genuine clue that she was gonna die in this season. And I was very heartbroken because I actually really did enjoy her character because she added something to the group that just was so needed. For one, great with Monse. She needed that other female to bring out the female in her. And they just worked really well together. And it was a great balance. There was way too much testosterone going on before. And Monse was kind of edging out, filling up that testosterone side. So Olivia just, she created such a balance in the group and in the friend group. And she was just so normal. And she has such a light to her. She just was so bright. And she just carries such a light with her and just such a dark, like, but not dark because again, this show doesn't know where to find the middle ground and what they want the tone to be. But she was great. And so when she died, I was like, crap. Like this was, but it was very predictable that she was going to die, even because I didn't know she was gonna get shot. So I had this theory running in my head because they made her basically an angel, like right before she died. She was, I mean, Olivia and Caesar get together and it's just the worst because Olivia and Caesar get together and Caesar is clearly still in love with Monse, likes her, whatever, in love. And he just, oh, I can't stop thinking about you. Goes right back to Olivia the next day. So, and she has no idea about any of this. And so when she starts to see it, it's like, okay, they still like each other. She's just like, you know, Monse, you need to go out for him. You need to do what's best for you. Don't worry about me. And I'm sitting over here looking like she either has to be the most secure person in the world or just the biggest dummy ever because I like what you're really gonna let someone cheat like like she's really gonna like she's really walking around here letting someone treat her like that. But I could just tell they were like she was they were making her so not even likable but just they were wrapping everything up so tightly so you couldn't dislike her when she died and it was so obvious just the fact that she got with Ruby in the end and obviously Ruby's been crushing on her for the entire show and then she ends up reciprocating those feelings to him and it's like they dance and I'm like oh crap she's dying I just instantly knew she was dead but I didn't think she was actually gonna die I was very heartbroken I'm not gonna lie but no, here's the thing there were things I know that the actress that plays her she again like I said made some very racist comments and because she's a white girl playing a Hispanic girl and I didn't know this was like everyone just knew this and I kind of felt kind of like crap am I just like putting everyone into the same I think oh she looks Hispanic enough to me because I had no idea she wasn't Hispanic because she played on another show she played on a Disney show Stuck in the Middle and she was also from a Hispanic family like how did he get typecast as a race that you're not that you're like how is that even possible like gosh like it was so strange and so when I found out I was so shocked because she's like she's white if you look at her family she's as white as it gets and she's over here playing speaking Spanish apparently not very well I couldn't really tell the difference but it sounded cringy so you know it was but it wasn't good at the end of the day I really did enjoy her character so it was actually kind of hard to see her die and I wished at least I'm pretty positive that wasn't the reason she got killed off but if it was the reason I wouldn't have minded if they recasted her because I don't care who plays her I just enjoyed her character and I enjoyed what she brought to that season and to the group so it was great but Caesar's journey through this season was very hard to watch because obviously in the beginning he had a big defiance from the gang and then to see him really forcefully ha or being forced down this road is so sad because it's just
I mean, anyone can see he's a bright and capable young man. I mean, everyone is. It's all about, resources and all those things leading up to it, but the fact that he's not able to live his own life and the life that he wants to is just, it's just.
It's just so heartbreaking. But the fact that he really thought, you know, it's okay. He was trying to save someone's life. He was trying to do the right thing, thinking he was, I can't say anything about that. I can say that's stupid, but I can't be mad at that. What I can be mad is that you decided, okay, I'm not gonna shoot him, I'm gonna let him go and hope that things go right. That's fine. But why you decide at, right after doing that to go to a public party with all your friends, thinking that everything was handled. Like, I just can't even, like, you have to be so unaware and just so unaware. This is speaking from the most unaware person on the planet of what has gone on around you. Like, you just did something so risky, and your thought process, let me go to a party. I understand because he did promise Olivia, oh, I, you know, to be his date, but you already broke that promise when you were flirting with Monte the whole time. So I don't even, you have no morals in the first place. So I can't even use that as an excuse. But you really thought that was a good idea. So honestly, it's just, it, that was just the biggest thing for me. I was like, what? How could you think that was a good idea? But again, it goes back to high schoolers acting like high schoolers. The one thing that did come, that was a good part that came out of this, was when Caesar get his hair shaved off, because it's like a rite of passage. After he quote unquote killed Latrell. He tells everyone he kills him, and his head is, and while he's shaving his head, this is like right after, and we don't know what he's, as the audience, we don't know if he's killed him or what happened, because it just ends with him pointing the gun at him. And Spooky, as his older brother, is shaving his head, and he just looks so traumatized and defeated and just sick. And he's shaving his head off, and it's, and he just, his face is just so, he just looks so, like, traumatized is the only word I could say. And so everyone's thinking, he killed him, like, he killed him, and it's so good. And then after, he throws up, and it's just so sick. Like, it makes you feel sick. It's like, this is such a horrible situation, and then you realize how young he is, and it's just so, like, disgusting because of how good it is. Because it just feels really real. This is, I think, one of the only, not one of the only, but a few, one of the few times it just, if it something feels so real in the show, and it just felt so real. It felt a little too real. Well, I mean, Monse, like I said, she's definitely the most hated. I remember hearing about people hating her before I even watched the show. Like, when the show was coming out, everyone just hated that girl. And I didn't really see it that much. She was annoying, but again, I'm like, I'm not, when was I supposed to be surprised? Like, she's 14, she's mad at everyone, and she has a temper. Like, what are we gonna, but I think her hair and her clothes are the real crime. Like, I don't know if they hated her or if they just wanted to see her suffer, because I don't know what they were putting her in, the clothes they were putting her in. I was fine with the flannel. I'm a flannel advocate. I'm fine with it. It looks good. If you wear it the right way, I'm fine with it. But then she started just dressing like she was 5, and then they're putting her in these layers, but then I don't know. And it never got better. Like, it's like they, it never got better. I was very shocked. Oh, yeah. Her clothes actually make me, I don't even want to talk about it. Her clothes, it was not it. But she did go through some mother drama. Her mama, ma, mother, do you, what was it? What is it? Mother, mommy issues? Is it? What is it? Mother drama. And her mother is left her when she was younger, and then she ends up seeing her, and she lives like 20 minutes away from her. That's the whole thing. Very, very hard pill to swallow, I'm not gonna lie. And it's good. I think it's a, this was one of the other few things besides Caesar and his, and the gang, that actually enticed you and actually kept you, like, it actually kept you going. It actually kept you interested, because everything else was not. I mean, starting with Jamal and the whole roller world BS. I can't get over how stupid that plot is and how much they focused on it. I mean, let's break it down. Roller World is basically, is there's money, Barry, Jamal, one of the four, believe that there is money buried in the neighborhood, and it's the Roller World money. And he basically goes on this whole adventure to try and find it, but he goes on it alone, because that's so interesting. One person with no one to interact with, going on a treasure hunt about something that so bad. It's so, I just can't see where they thought this would be interesting. And it does tie back to the main plot in a way, because they end up trying to find that money to give to Caesar so he can escape and run away. And okay, I get that. But I don't understand why we're spending so much time with just him. Why not bring another character? Why not have Ruby go with him, join him? Like, I don't understand why. I think the most interesting part of a treasure hunt, when it's obviously on screen, is when it's a group of people and you get to see a group of people finding this, or a group of people interacting with each other in order to find it, going through different obstacles. One person, that's the most boring crap I've ever seen. And they don't make it better, because they try to make it funny and he encounters funny things like people and then these bobbleheads, but the show is not funny. That's one thing I will say about the show. It's not funny. I think they can do one-liners. They have a few okay one-liners. I think all of them come from Jasmine, the one-liner queen in this season. Everything else is not funny at all, and they try to, and it just doesn't work at all. Yeah, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's so uninteresting, and I couldn't believe how much time they spent on it. And I was so close to, I was so close to skipping. I don't think I did. I don't even remember if I did the first time I saw it. But it's so, I think that's the one thing that keeps me from rewatching. Not the one thing, there's plenty of things, but one of the main reasons that keeps me from rewatching it, because they spend so much time on this, and I'm sitting here thinking, there's no way you're playing this back, and you're watching this for yourself and being like, this is so good. This is so interesting. I'm hyped. I can't wait to see what happens. It's so bad. But speaking of bad, you have Ruby and his family drama that, like, because I think the biggest set, I'd say, and the most common set that they go to is Ruby's house, because he has like a big family. And but it's so, it's again, they just focus on all the wrong things. It's like, and I understand why, because obviously the show, what it does is trying to show, like I said in the beginning, the different perspectives and different ways of life of these Hispanic kids, and when they grow up in these neighborhoods and what happens and things they go through, because Ruby's like has parents have financial issues and he wants his own room, it's this whole thing. But you also have to look at entertainment value. Is this entertaining for a group of what the show targeted, 12 to 15-year-olds? It's not. Like, that financial struggles between parents, it's not interesting. Put that in a documentary. Don't go and try to make a drama show and think it's gonna entice everyone. Like, it's just not good. It's not good. But they do lose plenty of time. The only thing that saves it is the fact that the actor who plays Ruby is by far the best actor out of all of them. Some of them, I'm not gonna call anyone out, but needs some serious work. Like,
You know what? Actually, I'm gonna call them out. Caesar, he was very obviously inexperienced in a show a lot.
but that's basically season two. It ends with Ruby and Olivia getting shot. We don't know who ends up dying, or yeah, who ends up dying. Think I already spoiled that though, so guess who cares? But I mean, season two, baby, season two. Obviously, that season that's actually my most positive season. So it only goes down here from here, because that's genuinely the most positive and best season, I think, out of all four. And I think it's one of those shows, I think it only needed one season. I think you could have wrapped this up in one season. And I think most Netflix shows are like that. We see that all the time, where people are like, you could have done this in one season. It's like, that just means you guys don't have enough content. Like, when are you guys starting to realize this?
Now we got the season two summer summary synopsis.
Season two is all about, this is the synopsis for season two. No, it's a synopsis. Forget it. It's all about Caesar and his quest for finding safety. By the time we get to the season two finale, Spooky has a solid plan to help Caesar get to safety. The plan went something like this. The prophets are locked away. This is so bad. Sorry, I can't even finish it. It's so bad. I'm looking at this. Ruby mourned Olivia's in season two. This is another one because the other one's really bad. In season two, Ruby mourned Olivia's death more than most of the characters. He, oh, this is so, where am I finding this? Maybe we need to go on Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes, gosh. Whatever. I'm gonna give my summary. Season two picks up exactly where season one left off. They're mourning Olivia. Ruby has been shot, so he's going through the PTSD of everything that comes with that and the horrificness. I love how I just invent new words. I think that's great and very smart. And just the horrifying details that come with all of that. And it's actually pretty cool because Spooky is the one that kind of gets him through that, at least tries to get him through that. And it creates a very interesting understanding and perspective on gang life because Spooky's able to share his opinion and share in an aggressive way, but share his views on why he does this and why he's involved and why he thinks this is the best way. So it's actually very smart because again, it's all about representation and representing every single aspect, every single part. And I thought that was pretty smart. And while this is happening, Caesar is obviously he is being exiled. Exiled. Everyone says exiled. Exiled. Exiled from the Santos because obviously he said he killed Latrell. He didn't. Retaliated. It's like, we don't want you. Ew. And it's pretty brutal because he's like homeless at some point, maybe the whole season. And he can't live with Monse because his father's like, you are not bringing that dirty rat trash to my house to go and kill you. Dad of the year, to be honest. Yeah, and that's basically where everyone's at. Jamal is he's found the Roller World money. So that happens. And no one cares. But yeah, I did but also as Monte's father is being very overprotective, or not overprotective, being protective, I'm sorry, overprotective is the worst word I can use for that. He's being protective and is telling her or show telling her about the plans to have her leave Free Ridge because he does not want her involved in this violent life because obviously she was at the party where Ruby and Olivia got shot, and obviously Olivia being their friend got is was killed. R.I.P. to her. And I mean I think it's
a compelling plot line to dive into because
the idea of safety and then family because obviously her friends are her family. So and they're the only friend she's ever had. But then at the end of the day, it's like she knows this is just not a safe environment. And her father obviously knows it's not a safe environment for a child. But her being like, nah, this is where all my friends are. This is where my family is. I can't just leave it. I can't leave them. And it's and you can look at it from the outside and be like, why are you find a way to be safe? Like what? But growing up there, that's all you know. You start to just become immune to it, and that's just the saddest part is that that happens. And but obviously, when you're given the chance, you gotta get your head in the game. But as Monse is contemplating this decision of should she leave Free Ridge or not, which is the town they're in, by the way. Caesar does the most helpful thing in the entire world and gives Monse an ultimatum of you either when she tells him, oh my, I'm going to live with my mother in Brentwood, or I want to live with my mother in Brentwood, and he's like, if you go, we're broken up. And this is a very controversial part because actually not controversial, I would just hate Caesar for this. And yes, I can say Caesar, that was very messed up of him. But I also think I can, it's very valid to say that everything he's going through at this point, with just the fact that he's so unstable and just the fact of where he's living, he doesn't know where he has no place to live, he has no one to turn to, his brothers abandoned him, he has no real family right now. Monse has been the only constant thing in his life. So of course he's gonna be like, whoa, like you're le like very emotionally distressed when she finds out he's leaving because of course Monte is leaving the neighborhood, she's leaving the violence, but he doesn't in his eyes he's thinking she's leaving me, and yeah that's selfish, but at the same time it's again very valid to feel that way when everything that's happening in your life is happening, and you feel that the one thing that is okay in your life is leaving, and then just feel like another person leaving him because his father's gone. His father left him very young. His brother just abandoned him. He has, like, it's just, there's just nothing, he has nothing really going for him at this point. So I just, it's hard to not understand. It's hard for me to comprehend how people can't understand his side. And even Monse, I mean, I think she could have been understanding, but at the same time, that's not her. I don't think that's her character. She's very impulsive and emotional and hard-headed, and so her reaction made sense. But I think as the audience, someone who was seeing everything that Caesar was going through, you think people would be a little more understanding, but you know, this is the age and generation of having no sympathy after all that happens.
Monse leaves for Brentwood, and that's when things get sticky.
For what they've broken up, right? It's very clearly stated that they have broken up. And
During this time, Caesar sees a picture of Monse and some random dude on Insta. And yeah, this is sort of irrelevant to his actions, but it happens, so I'm gonna mention it, like, of course. But anyway, he's surprised, he's hurt, whatever, all of the above. And just for reference, Caesar got a job at Jamal's family business, a chicken shop. So he's with his female coworker at the time, and she ends up coming on to him, which results in Caesar hooking up with her. But the thing is, or at least my question is, why Caesar is accused or is considered that he cheated on Monse? Because this was no friend situation. This was no, we were on a break. No, we weren't. No. Monse clearly states, we are done. We are not together. So, whatever happens after they broke up is genuinely none of her business. So, I don't know why they tried to make it hers or why she was even mad in the first place, because there's no reason that she should be.
if it wasn't for Caesar trying to push Monse away in that moment to get her to not follow him, there would be no reason for him to tell him. And there was nothing wrong with what he did.
Opinion.
It's the right opinion, so it's not really an opinion at this point. Because it's just there's no relevance. You wouldn't be mad if your partner told you before you, oh, I was with someone before. Okay. You were broken up. You weren't together. At this point, you are not together. So he does not owe you or is obligated to do anything. Like, it doesn't make any sense. The fact that people actually use this as a, oh, Caesar's an asshole. Oh, Caesar's this. Oh, Caesar's this. He's not. Like, they're broken up. Like, he really didn't do anything worth.
Having a fuss about for longer than 10 seconds. I just.
Really have no idea where people get this idea that Caesar's just this horrible boyfriend, and he's a cheater. He's this. I don't think he's ever cheated in the show. We're not counting season four because that's not worth counting. But when Monse does go to Brentwood, she makes friends. Jamal and Ruby visit her in Brentwood, and it's the most like Twilight Zone thing where we spent like I think it's a whole episode. She's in they're on Brentwood. They hang out with her friends, and her friends are so bland and boring.
Like, I can't believe they actually existed. Like, they were really on screen because I was really sitting there, like, what is the point? I mean, there was no point. We never see them again. But they had absolutely no screen presence or personality. Was so bland, and they just didn't bring anything. And the worst part for me is that Monse would never be friends with those type of people. The Monse we know from the past season we've seen her would never, and I don't know why it's a thing. And well, I especially don't know why it's a thing where if you move to a rich area, those are the only people you'll meet, and that is just not true. And Monse specifically would not just hang around anyone just because. So it was so hard to believe that those were actually her friends. It took away the entire realism aspect of the show for me. It was all just so strange.
And so weird. The environment was, that episode was so strange, and just nothing felt real. Nothing, but most things in the show, it just doesn't feel real. Feels like a parody of something that no one knows. And it's just so strange. And it was just so strange. It was so uncomfortable to watch. But I just couldn't. I could not stand it. And there's just so many moments in this season and in the show in general, starting with this season, that do this. I mean, you can also say Mario. He comes back. Yeah, Mario. Never heard of him, huh? Because we saw him in the first episode for about a total, let me actually, for probably about a total of 1 minute and 20 seconds. A whole total minute and 20 seconds. And we never see him again. And I thought it was a fever dream. When I saw him in the first episode and he came back in season two, I genuinely thought it was a fever dream. I was like, this dude looks so familiar. But he hasn't been brought up. He hasn't been seen. He hasn't been talked about. And suddenly I'm just supposed to just, like, why did he need to be there in the first place? But he comes back with a white baby mama. And that's the whole shtick. That's the whole thing, is that he comes back, he got a girl pregnant, she's white. It's this whole running joke. Her family has to get used to him, used to her. The girl, the baby mama forms a relationship with Ruby. It's so weird. It's so strange. And this takes up a big chunk of the season. This is probably like a B plot to the entire like Caesar drama that goes on. So this is a very big part of the show. And of course, because the show is the show, she's about to have the baby. And what ends up happening is that this whole shtick goes on just so they can make the joke in the end that that's not his baby. You can guess. You can guess. You can guess how they find out. You can guess who the baby's by because of how they find out. It's so stupid. I don't even want to say it. But it's so ridiculously stupid just to give the joke that she had the baby by a black dude, and you can tell as soon as it comes out. And I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe it. I felt, first of all, I felt so betrayed, and I felt so. What was the point? What I had no reason to watch. Felt like the biggest waste of my time in the entire world for no reason. It wasn't even interesting. At least if it was interesting, I could be like, okay, I had fun while it lasted. I didn't have fun. It was horrible. It was awful. It was stupid. Just to make an even stupider joke that never comes back around. She never comes back. And it's the most useless waste of screen time I've ever seen in my life. That's the first one. I think this is where I realized that this show is just probably one of the biggest waste of an idea. Because the idea is great. Idea, the concept, it has so much potential. And it just went completely down the toilet. And that was the moment it did. I don't know. It just That was the moment it did. But I think the one good part I would say is Spooky's development. This comes from season two. He helps Caesar defeat the prophets. It's cool, I guess. He grows a lot, and I think the biggest part is that you start to see yourself become a fan of Spooky as someone who was his worst. I just couldn't stand him in the first season, and he does become a lot better, and you just start to understand him more. And I like that they not really made you, but they helped you understand him more. And they did it in a very natural way with having him, obviously, like I said in the beginning, be close to get close to Ruby, and just they form an understanding. So that's honestly the best part of the season, but everything else can just is just trash and should not be allowed to be on TV. Let's not forget the greatest ending of a season. All four of them. All four of them. They're just walking down the street, they have a conversation. They're fun banter. It's fun. It's cool. It's cute. And then out of nowhere, van pulls up. They have bags pulled over their head and thrown into a van. And the worst part is that I don't know whether to be scared or to laugh because the show doesn't know what it's doing. And I just don't know what the point is. Like, I'm seeing four kids, four literal children get thrown into a van, and I don't know how to feel about that. That's not right. It's there's That right there should tell you that there's something wrong with your show. No explanation needed.
Okay, so let's get into the season three summer summary and synopsis.
This season's so bad. So the head of the Santos Cuchillos is responsible for the four being kidnapped, and she's impressed with their involvement in finding the Roller World money and taking down the profits. And because of this, she wants to help. She wants her help in finding little Ricky, who she believes is alive and well. My reading hasn't gotten better. Yeah, so it's basically the plot of season three. It's as boring as it sounds. I don't know why we keep doing this mystery thing. I don't know why this stupid mystery thing is still a thing. See, she gives them a quest. You gotta find little Ricky. Who he is, we don't know. Why should we care? We don't know. Do they make us care? No, they don't, because it's not a good enough show. And that's the whole thing. Jamal is really the only one, because again, they decide let's have one person go on a whole treasure hunt because that's the most entertaining thing. And they go on a quest to find little Ricky while Caesar deals with his father coming back. And that's honestly probably the most interesting part, is his father comes back, and we get a lot of development from that. A lot of development comes from that, which is very rare in the show. But we do see it, because Spooky obviously was a lot older when he left, and so he obviously has the memories a lot thicker than Caesar's. So Caesar wants to get to know him. He wants to.
You know, because he makes all these promises he's gonna be back because their father left a while back when they were young, and he was a former gang leader of the Santos before going to prison. So,
Dad of the year, man. But he comes back, and Spooky's like, I want nothing to do with you, and tells Caesar, you don't want anything to do with him, which to me isn't that smart, because it's like, let him find that out on your own. Let him find that out on his own, because at the end of the day, he's going to resent you for not letting him get to know him. Not letting him get to know. Yeah, that made sense. I don't know why I said that over. And he's going to resent him. So let him figure that out on his own. If he's a crappy father, let him figure that out on his own. And I think he did the best thing by stepping back. But before, I was like, why do you think, like, why are you shaming him for wanting to spend time with him? Because at the end of the day, all you can do is be there for him when he's not there for him, when he's not there for him. But it does make sense. And we see one of, I'd say the best, I'd say the best line from the entire show comes from this whole plot, where Oscar says to his father, he's like, not it's like this is a direct quote. You know, the worst part about growing up without a father is having to be a father to a brother without ever being a son. And it's I definitely had to rewind it a few times. I was like, wow, that was it wasn't very you have to think about it that hard, and why I'm like, it was the most profound thing, but it just was something I'd never heard, and it's something that rained very true in their situation and just made you think, and it made you feel not really bad for him, but just you understood him more and where he was coming from with the father, because obviously he left him, but that explanation made so much sense, and it made sense as to how he treats Caesar. I gave him so much flack in the first season for being a horrible older brother, which I will not retract, because he was a horrible older brother, but it all started to make sense when he said that, and I think a lot of people could relate to it, which I'm is one of the biggest goals of the series. So that was a good point. And then you had Ruby's parents again, financial issues. Is that the only thing that why is this still this is 3 seasons and we're still talking about the same thing? Ruby's financial issues, still boring, still uninteresting, still don't care. Finding little Ricky, still don't care, still uninteresting, still happening. And Cuchillo's, the thing is, she's supposed to be like this big bad, she's supposed to be the leader. Everyone fears her. Everyone respects her. But it's hard to say this without sounding misogynistic. I'm not gonna lie. But she's not. She's not any of those things. And maybe she just needs to put on some muscle. I don't know. But I'm not feeling like I'm not fearing her. There's nothing that's making me fear her, especially since Spooky's supposed to be this, like, he's like genuinely afraid of her. And I'm like, I feel like you could give her one punch and she'd be out. Like, I don't know. It's just, and I guess her power is what's the most frightening thing. And I get that, but it's, I don't know. She just, it wasn't it. I don't know. There's something about her that she was so, like, non-threatening. And I was like, we need to get some testosterone. We need some males. Women are just not scary enough.
opinion.
They're not strong enough. Women. They're just so weak. Women are just so weak. I just can't believe a man would actually be afraid of a woman. Like, yeah, there's just so many irrelevant plots that never come back around. And again, this show, it just feels like they never have enough to say to fill up 10 episodes. And it's crazy because it's literally only 10 episodes. You don't have enough to say in 10 episodes. Someone's making a 500-page book on wizardry, and you can't make 10 episodes on probably the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems in today's age. Is crazy to me. But I mean, it's true. But I think the something that does kind of counteracts what I've just previously said, but there is a new gang that comes into town, 19th Street, and it's very known that they're like not that scary, and they're like children, they're like 4, like 16, and they're very skinny and scrawny. And the thing is, like, why would these people be afraid of him? Spooky's afraid of everyone. He's just not as cool as everyone thinks he is, but he's like actually like scared of it, scared of them, and he actually finds them threatening. And everyone's like, why would you find them threatening? But I like that idea because he says this too. It's like they are so young and s dumb. Young, dumb, young, dumb. Wait, what's the word? Young, dumb. Young, dumb, and broke. Wow, that should be their anthem. Man, they're young, dumb, and broke. Okay. Maybe not broke because they're doing this. But, and because they're so young, they have no code, they have no morals, they have no integrity, and so that makes them even more dangerous. It doesn't matter how big they are, if you're willing to do anything with no sort of code or no sort of boundaries, anything is possible. And that's why it's like a thing where most people are afraid of young people, because especially young people, young stupid people. And so it made sense. And again, bringing in all these different views and all these different points on the neighborhood and growing up in those types of environments, and just showing that and displaying that all in this show, I think that again was a good thing that they did. I just think they could have executed it by making the show actually interesting. But you know, it's a start. But I will say the only good part about this season is the last two episodes. Probably, yeah, I'd say I was hooked for two episodes. 2 episodes out of 40. Wow, only 40 episodes in a 4-season show was crazy. But yeah, and so what ends up happening is Spooky gets captured by Cuchillos, and he gets captured because he's trying to help out their friend group. And at this point, everyone doesn't like, no one likes Spooky. No one out of the four likes Spooky, because it's, you know, they think, oh, he's put you in all this danger, he's put us in all this danger, this and this. And Caesar, obviously that's his brother, so he's worried out of his mind, and he ends up blowing up at everyone. And it's so,
It's the one competent thing they've done. And
all I could think about is if they would have just sprinkled this just a little bit more, and the rest of the show could have been not miles better, could have just been a few, you know, a few inches better. But yeah, it's just you, because for one, you see Jamal and Ruby just fed up with Caesar. Like, you put us in all this danger. You are such a liability to just our lives. Like, the fact that Ruby got shot and it was 98% Caesar's fault. It starts to boil over. All that stuff starts to boil over. The fact that they're constantly in danger, it's a lot of it's Caesar's fault. But then at the same time, and Caesar makes honestly really good points that it seems like a lot of people don't seem to realize, is that they didn't have to be involved in this. In the first episode, they decided, we're gonna try and get you out of this gang. We're gonna make ourselves involved in this. And this is what happened. So you can't, because I mean, it's great. I mean, you're just loyal friends. Obviously, that's what loyal friends would do. But you can't go back and retract that and be like, you put us in all this danger, this and this. And I agree. It's like, you can't disrespect us when we've done that for you. But at the same time, you can't go over and say I've ruined your life, or call me a liability because you chose this. I didn't ask you to come help me. He didn't. That's the thing. He didn't. He never asked them. In the beginning, he never asked them to come help him. You guys decided, we want to help you, and you ended up getting involved in this stuff, and then all this crap happened. So It was, but it was, but I think it just all those feelings were boiling over, and their friendship was just hanging on by the tiniest thread at this point. It was their friendship was like on the smallest wire, and they're all just jumping and pouncing on that wire. And so this was just bound to happen, but it was great to see because they just all were just on their last leg. And Caesar blowing up like that, we hadn't seen them that way. And then obviously, this is like signs of him at this point. It's like signs of him becoming a gang leader, and this and this that ends up happening. Spoiler. I don't want to keep saying spoiler, whatever. And it's just all very well done. And Ruby, again, he's the best actor, so you feel that emotion and all that the resentment. You see a lot of resentment from them. And then with Jamal, where he's like, "You guys always make fun of me. You guys always you guys don't take me seriously, but look what I've done," and this, and it's a great way of bringing all their problems up into light when all this crap is happening. But one thing I did disagree with Jamal and Ruby on, or Ruby or whatever, was that at this point, his Spooky had just been kidnapped. They are at this point, they're pretty sure that he's dead. So to not realize that, like, even though Caesar was blowing up at them, he was snapping at them, and it's like, okay, chill out, bro. Like, we're trying to help. I do think they could have given him a little bit of just understanding, like, whoa, like, this is, you're trying to deal with this, you're processing the fact that your brother's probably dead. You know, let him just let him grieve, let him figure this out without snapping at him. But obviously, at the end of the day, again, like I said, this was all boiling up to a point where it just was bound to happen. So, but they executed it very well. So, you know, ha honestly, hats off, because they executed it very well. I love that scene in the woods when they're going back and forth. One of my favorites. And so, yeah, that was the last good thing I can say, but I will. But we do have to talk about, because it's incredible how strange this is. Because Jamal ends up, this is like mid-season, I don't even know if it's mid-season, it's like beginning of the season, he just gets a random stalker, and it's a girl, and we just she's just stalking him, and he ends up later getting together with her, but she's like weird, and I don't know if she has some sort of, like, I don't want to label it medical condition. Like, I don't know, because it's so strange. We never talk about it, and I just don't know what we're trying to accomplish here. I don't see where this helps, where this moves the story along, where this moves his character development along. I just don't see it, and I don't understand it. And it gets me so. I'm saying I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening, because she's just stalking him. And she obviously has something not right in her head.
Opinion.
That might be a little mean. It's true. It's what I think. It's what I think. Who cares? It's just bizarre, and it never gets explained. So I'm like, okay, normal day for this show. But season three has, this is where a lot of people like to say that this is where the show should have ended. I very much disagree. Because this season does end with Monse deciding that it's time to leave. So her father sends her to this to Mayfield boarding school, and I can't believe I remember that. Sends her to Mayfield boarding school, and so she's saying goodbye to everyone, and they're like, she's like, promise me nothing's gonna change when I get back. And I think at this point it was like, you're done. Like, this friendship is over. Like, last time you left, and everyone was just not friends anymore. Now we're all like at each other's throats, and then you want to leave again? Yeah, they're just. I think everyone knew this was not gonna end well, and it ends with showing how they all are. And I think it was like 2 years later. Monse's at her school. She's happy. She's with all the rich girls, and they show like the frame that they got her for when she leaves is like behind, like the lat, like. Behind everything on her desk at the school, and obviously she's forgotten about them. Not really forgotten, but just, you know, push them to the side. Jamal is now a football player, and that's like a whole arc in season one, is that he doesn't want to be a football player. His father wants him to be. And he ends up becoming a football player, and then Ruby and Jamal don't talk anymore. Ruby is now with Jasmine, which I happen to not talk about her. There's nothing much to talk about with her. I mean, she was a one-liner in the first season, got a bigger role because Olivia left and they needed to fill the void with another girl. And she was funny. Her and Ruby were a thing, but it was felt a lot like mother and son, so I could never really get behind it. And when I say felt like, I mean they look like mother and son. That's it. And they're together, and then surprise, surprise, Caesar becomes why did I pause for so long? The head of the Santos. And he has now taken over Spooky spot, because in the end of season three, Spooky decides he does not want to live this life anymore. He wants to get something else out of life, and he's done with all this crap. And it's like, good for you. And then he leaves his brother behind. It's like A1 brother. Yeah, that's basically how season three ends. And everyone's like, this is where the show should have ended. And I just couldn't disagree more, because for one, what would be the point of having Caesar end as a gay? Like, that's just so mean to be like, okay, in the first season, the first episode, he's like, this is all I'm destined to be. This is my whole fan, like, my whole family's this way out. This is just the way my life's gonna go. There's no way out. And then to have him just follow that path, that's like, for the people watching, especially if when you're in that situation or you're in similar situations like that, it just gives us like, yeah, okay, that's like, you can't do anything to change your fate. Like, it's like, that would not be a good message to send. So I just couldn't disagree with more. I think the idea that they're all split apart and that not everyone stays together or friends stay together during high school is very true and realistic. But I just think that ending for Caesar would be so, it would just be so mean. Again, that would just be so mean and unnecessary. So I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. But sadly, we do get season four, so I don't know how happy I am that they continue this.
Season four comes around and it's 2 years later. And like I said, Jamal and Ruby don't talk anymore. Jamal is now a football player. Caesar is head of the Santos. And they basically all ended up exactly where they didn't want to be in the beginning of the show. But Monse is coming back from the boarding school, and this is the first time she's seen anyone in a while. And that's pretty much where we start off the season. But one thing I did like was the way they would occasionally throw in flashbacks that gave us explanations on how and why they all stopped talking. But all I could think about was Monse when she was in that scene with Caesar in the flashback.
And it's very emotional. It's very like, it pulls on your heartstrings as someone who is a fan of Monse and Caesar. But that her hairstyle is so bad. And they just do not do her justice. Like, the camera angles just do not do her justice. And it's all I can think about is, oh, that's all I can think about. But she does come back. And Caesar at this point has a girlfriend because he can't survive without a girl on his shoulder. And Barrow and Caesar, she's like his mob wife. It's so strange. It's so out of place. It's so out of place. And they last for, I don't even think they broke up. Like, they just last. And I'm like, why is she still here? And it's wild. But that happens, and then obviously Spooky, he's like living his, oh, I forgot. God, season three ends with Spooky. He's like, has a whole family. He has a wife. He has kids, and he's about to get have a baby. He doesn't have kids. He's about to have a baby, and that's how season three ends. Like, when they show everyone's life in 2 years, that's his life. But of course, everyone knows that when someone who's been through what he's been through and isn't has had life he's had, once you're happy, that's a death sentence. So he does end up dying. And it's just was so predictable. I mean, I think anyone could see that coming from 50 miles away, like 5 seasons ago. And yes, there are only 4 seasons. It just was very predictable. It was sad, but at the same time, I expected him to die. Like, I expected him to die a while ago. Like, I was surprised he made it this far. So it wasn't that sad. You just expected it, especially with the way they just make it so predictable whenever someone dies. Just having Caesar, like I said, the same thing with Olivia. They had Caesar come along with Caesar finally agreed to leave the gang and come with Spooky and, live with him, and they start a new life. I'm just like, oh, he's dying. And he does. And it's whatever. But it's among the many things that is wrong with this season. Jamal, for some reason, starts liking Wansei. And I didn't think about this until like recently. But I think the only reason this would make sense, because Jamal just starts liking Wansei. Nothing ever goes anywhere with them. But he just it's so weird. And he just starts liking her. And so I'm thinking like maybe that's a hint, like, oh, they down the line they end up getting together. Only explanation, because it's just so weird. And so they end up getting together, and I don't know anymore. Can I just say this season's bad and just get over with? Yeah, he just starts liking her, and it's just really strange. And then they find Little Ricky because apparently that's so important, and it doesn't hold any relevance to anything anymore, or never did. And he's just some random guy that we've never seen, and somehow we're supposed to be like, oh my gosh, this is so incredible, because you guys tell us it's supposed to be incredible. And it's just weird because it just that whole part plays into how horrible the pacing and storytelling is in the season. Like, I don't know if they just didn't know where they were going with this, or they were coming up with new stuff on the spot, but the way that they have like a serious emotional moment, like Caesar spreading his ashes, and then a second later they're meeting with Lil Ricky, and then it's Jamal goes crazy and starts taking weed. It's like, you don't even have 5 seconds to feel anything because something just completely bizarre happens, and I'm supposed to take that seriously, and I just don't know anymore. But because it is the last season, we end up wrapping up all these characters, and starting with, not starting with, but Monse and Caesar obviously have their closing moments, and you'd think it would be, this is the last season. Let's give them a break. They've broken up about 8 times in the span of 30 episodes. Let's just give them some grace. Let's just let them be happy. No. Caesar decides, okay, you know what? I have issues, so I need to have someone else by my side. He gets a girlfriend. Okay, that's fine. Monse comes back
He sleeps with Monse.
behind the other girl's back. And then prom's coming up. Oh, Monse gets so sweet. She's like, oh, I want to go with him. She gets nervous. She, mind you, okay, 2 seconds before this is like episode 8. You got like 2 episodes left of the show. Monse comes up to him. She kisses him. She's in his house. And then right after, she's like, I have something to ask you. Monse asks him to prom, Caesar to prom. And Caesar's like, oh, dang it. I already said yes to Vero. It's like, that doesn't stop you from kissing her, but you say no to a. It's just so strange. I'm like, how? There's no way they're still together or not together or still in each other's lives, because we've seen her for all of 1 of 4 episodes, and suddenly she's creating a wedge between Monse and Caesar. When your show's almost done, your show's almost done. Why are we still creating conflict between them? And then he does actually end up. I was when I say I was in shock seeing this. He actually goes to prom with her, with Vera. Like, he dances with her, and Monse just ends up store like running out because she's sad or embarrassed or whatever. And Caesar and her have a talk, and they're just like, everything's just so strange. Like, she's just like, you know, I hope you'll be in my future, because you have no over you no control over your future, and it's just all very like. Is this real? Like, the season really felt like, is this real? Because nothing felt real. Yeah, this is how the relationship ends. I mean, literally, when in the end, like, this is like the last 2 minutes of the show. They're all, you know, Monse is talking about becoming a writer and writing a book, and Caesar's like, to ask her, this is in front of like all three of them. He's like, how do you think our story is gonna end, Monse? She's like, she says the most profound thing I've heard ever. I don't know. This is how you end the relationship. I don't know. I don't, not even, not like, I, there's nothing left to say after that. There's nothing left to say. Just leave it at, I don't know. Four seasons of this relationship, and you leave it on, I don't know. And nothing else. Like, we don't get any, this is not when you follow up, oh, 10 years down the line, this is where they are. Just, I don't know. Yeah. Jamal becomes a spy or working for the FBI. Ooh, rhymes. I don't know. He's investigative reporter. This is where I talk about how unrealistic, how realistic the show tries to be. Then they just realize, oh, I want to make a comedy skit. It feels like they're in between that. They're like, I want to make a real life representation of what it's like to live in this neighborhood and grow up like this. And then the other half of them are like, we want to make a comedy skit. Let's do both. It's really bad. But the one thing that does actually come out of the season that's probably one of my favorite parts is Ruby. He goes and meets Latrell, the person in season one and two, who kills Olivia. And Latrell obviously is in juvie at this point. And it's such an it's very real, it's very raw, but it's very emotional because they're talking and you can't help but feel like this is what the show was made for, was this conversation, was seeing Ruby, not really even forgiving him, but just
Getting closure for himself because he's able to recognize he was just a kid like the rest of them. And there's one line that Ruby says, something along the lines of, "You don't have power over me anymore." And I thought that was a killer line, no pun intended, because Latrell answers with, "You think I wanted that power?" Which displays he's just a kid who made bad choices and has to pay for that for the rest of his life.
it's like what would happen to Caesar if he didn't have the friends he had. And Ruby ends up like sharing a drink with him because it's like the same drink they used to have when they were kids, because obviously they're all, like I said at the beginning, grew up together. And he's just enjoying that little piece of his childhood that he
Wishes he could go back to, especially since he's about to turn 18.
and it just was so heartbreaking. And then he asked him at the end, he's like, Ruby's like, is there anything I could do for you? And he's like, stop me from turning 18.
And it's just so sad because he was, f I mean, he was 14. 14 when this happened. Like, it's just.
Again, like I said, this made me realize why I did like the show in some way. Reminded me of that. Because, I mean, that's just what the show is all about. It's just about showing that this is the lives of so many people. I mean, you see kids worrying about, oh my gosh, I have homework, I have this, I have this. Like, can you imagine living their lives? Like, this is supposed to show this is what some people have to go through. This is the lives that some kids have to live and how this affects everything. And there's really usually nothing they can do about it. Obviously, there's some that are luckier than most, but others just they're stuck. There's nothing. They're stuck, and it's just so good that this was shown and this was represented. And that's why I think this was of as popular as it was, despite all of its horrible flaws. This was one thing they did really well. I mean, I you can compare it to shows like Gossip Girl that were so big and had, probably one of the most entertaining things I've watched. But at the end of the day, I finished watching it and I was like, what is this? I was like, what did I just watch? Like, this was it felt so useless and so like empty and hollow. Despite all the issues this show had and all the problems that were in this series, I left it with something. I left it feeling something. I left it understanding something. And I just left it having a new thought process and a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things. And I think that's honestly what TV is all about, at least for me. And I wish it could have been executed better. But I think the fact that I still left it feeling this way, I think they did something right. They did something right. And that scene really just solidified it for me. I mean, there were a couple others. You have when Caesar and was trying to leave the gang, and he went up to Sad Eyes, and was like, I want to get jumped out, and he was like,
What do you think happened when Spooky almost died the night he got jumped out? He was taking the punches for both of you because he knew that
you were gonna have a better life too. And that just was one thing, one part of the show that felt like they thought about it for longer than 3 hours. One thing. So I really did appreciate that. Very few things in the show that they did right, but they were very impactful things, in my opinion. So it worked. But yeah, that's the end. That's basically what happens at the end. Ruby gets into some fancy college, and yeah, I did mention how Jamal becomes a spy, I guess. Disappointing. My gosh, so disappointing. But let's rank all the seasons because actually, let's rank them. Let's rate them. The rating will show the ranking. But season one, like I said, definitely the best out of all four of them. It was solid is a strong word, but it was definitely the best out of all four. It showed signs of just a great show in the making. And if they would have upped their game in season two, it would have been really good. But they didn't. The season by itself, I think, deserves a 6 out of 10. Wasn't bad. Every one of these ratings, though, when I think about it, could be 1 point lower because I'm really giving it so much. I'm giving it so much grace. I really am. Like, it's not even funny. But season two, it was just such a letdown. It was such a letdown. Going from season one to season two was such a letdown. And I really didn't want to finish the show after that. There was really, Monse and Caesar were the only reason I was still watching. The only reason. And that's not saying a lot because they were had some crappy moments. But that's a 5 out of 10 for me. Season three, the only reason it has any sort of score is because of the ending. The ending, season three ending was great. I actually loved it. I it was emotional to watch because it felt very real. Seeing them all go in different directions like that. It was good. It was smart. It was good. It was a good ending. Only reason it has a rating it does, 4 out of 10.
Season four.
If I could give it a zero, I would. It was just a waste of a show. It was a waste of a season. It was a waste of a season, 100%. There was just no reason for it. You should have just done a movie. Should have just done a movie, wrapped them all up. That's it. It could have been a movie. That season four could have, forget it. Could have been a movie, 2 out of 10. But they're rating the entire show. I mean, I could do this in math way and actually like add up the average score, but we're gonna go from our heads because, you know, we don't make sense around here. 5.5 out of 10. It was what it was, you know. It was what it is. But the real question that everyone is asking, at least that I'm asking, is this show worth the watch or not?
That question will be answered in the next segment where I will be determining whether On My Block worth it or not. It is worth it. The most surprising one, but yeah, it is.
It's just everything I said in the beginning. I think it's a show that everyone should watch. I think it, like I said, it gives a great representation of the lives of many that aren't really broadcasted as much as it should. And it just and I think you just gain a lot if you are able to and look at things beyond what it shows you. You're able to gain a really big perspective on things that are good too, and you're just gain some sympathy and just something people desperately need. So I think it is worth it. I think all four seasons worth it? That's debatable. But I think the show.
As a whole, I think everyone should give it a try. Just a quick message before I leave. I am so glad to be back ripping apart everyone's favorite TV and movies.
I'm out.